Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Today's guest is one of the top young coaches in Louisiana, and he's been around a long time. His dad is JT Curtis, the head football coach at John Curtis High School, but his son, Jeff Curtis, joins us today, who's also the baseball coach and one of his top coaches on the staff for John Curtis High School. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I like how you said that. One of the top young coaches. I appreciate the young comment in there.
You're still young? You're very young. I remember when you, and I know Johnny at Mississippi State, your brother, I remember when y'all were coming out of high school. I was getting into it. That was before I was in the business, but I didn't own Louisiana Football Magazine. But I remember Melvin Hayes. I always remember this because I connect Melvin Hayes with Johnny, your brother, and yourself, and they had a string of guys going to Mississippi State during that era.
Right, yeah. Scott Camino, Randy Brown, Johnny, and Melvin all went to Mississippi State in that 91 class.
That was a unique group, man. And then Melvin was, what, about 6'6"? He was a big old guy.
Yeah. He had a chance to play in the NFL and played for the Jets organization for a few years. So, yeah, it was a good group.
So many really good kids have come out of John Curtis High School. Your dad is still the head coach in so many records and one of the top high school coaches in the country. Your dad, JT, one of the great guys. When I got in the business in 91, your dad was one of the first people I talked to and got him on the radio show. I remember I was on a radio station, Jeff, that went to about 200 people probably. And he said, "I'd come on." Yeah, I'll come on. And I remember meeting him in River Ridge at the school and just class act. And then you're back at the school now many years since your playing days. And then, what's it been like to be coaching side-by-side with your dad? I mean, we know him as JT. You know him as your dad, JT Curtis. But what's it been like to be there with your dad all these years?
Yeah, it's really surreal because – he does such a good job of separating dad from coach, but also, father figure, mentor, so it's weird because he is my father, but he's also a father figure for so many. So it's almost like I have two fathers. I have my father at school, and then I have my dad, away from the field. And he does such a great job of separating the two, and he did that really good for me as a player too. For all of the Curtis family members that have played at John Curtis, whether they have the last name Curtis or Uechtler or Rickner or Nackery or whatever, because my dad has three sisters and they all had sons. It's interesting because I'm the only one that played offense out of all of us. Everybody played defense.
I didn't know that. That's a good point.
And even going into Johnny's son, Jay Curtis, defensive player, my son, Jeffrey, he's just going to be in eighth grade, but he's taken a liking to linebacker. So it's really interesting. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for me to admit, right?
Less injuries, maybe?
Yeah, right. But it's interesting because I was the only one that actually played for him like as a position coach. He was my position coach.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been really a unique experience, obviously, to say the least. But he does such a good job of being able to separate dad from coach and mentor. So it's been a fantastic experience to be able to coach side by side with him. And he has something that he tells us all the time. He goes, "I don't want you to work for me. I don't want you to work for the school. I want you to work with me, and I want you to work with the school." And that's really kind of the philosophy that he's taken. It makes it such an easy transition when it comes to, being able to go to work every day and realize that you have just as much impact as anybody else on staff. Yeah. Nobody is above one, the other.
We've got Jeff Curtis as our guest today from John Curtis High School. We're going to talk baseball in the show. Also, the 221 class that just signed. I want to keep talking about him because there's some kids that still haven't signed in the John Curtis High School 221 class, the guys that did sign, I'm going to bring it up, and then we'll talk a little bit about some 222 kids that are coming up. that could have some great years coming up this year in 2022 that are going to be seniors. And talk about some of the famous baseball alums that have come out of Curtis. Kay Beloso, I know, is one of them. We'll talk about him. And then I know Cabrera was there at one point, Daniel Cabrera.
Right.
But we'll have more with Coach Jeff Curtis. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our guest today is Jeff Curtis, the head baseball coach at John Curtis High School, also football coach, does everything. You know, we have a family-owned business, Jeff. My mom is 72 years old. She's been with me since she was in her 40s. I told her the other day, now I'm in my 50s. And, you know, you're used to that growing up around the family, running the school, and, like I said, uncles and, you know, cousins and, you know, maybe even nephews being involved now. But what an amazing job that your grandfather started years ago and now your dad. And we were talking the other day about Pete Jenkins, you know, being in his late 70s and still acting like he's 20-something years old. And your dad's the same way. I mean, people think, you know, well, JT must be like 60, you know, your dad.
Right.
Because he's got such a love and passion for this game. It's like, it's just, you can tell, you know?
Yep. Yeah. It's amazing the amount of energy that he has. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way he's been able to live his life. You know, there's something to be said for good, clean living, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, doesn't, you know, run around and, you know, do crazy things, and really doesn't have any other hobbies other than cooking. He's a fantastic cook. I mean, really, really good cook. And that's what he really loves doing away from the field. But, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with it's just kind of the way that he lives his life and his passion that he has for young people and turning them into good young men and good young women. And, you know, our kind of motto at school is building champions for life. And that's, you know, something that really drives him every day. And it's a little bit embarrassing sometimes, Lee, because I'll be out there in the back end of a two-a-day and I'm exhausted and I'm ready to turn the page and get home and eat some dinner. And he's still fired up and running around the field and screaming and hollering. I need to check myself. You know, you said young coach earlier, sometimes I don't feel so young in the back end of those two days. And then I look over at the 73-year-old, he's still going. So,
yeah, I tell people all the time, I say, you know, they'll say, you know, in conversations, just a bunch of guys, maybe at a donut shop or wherever we're eating for lunch. They'll say, well, name two high school coaches you compare that would be the Nick Saban of high school football or the Urban Meyer or the Jimmy Johnson or the Barry Switzers. And I say, JT Curtis and Louis Cook. I said, yep. Those are the closest that come to mind for being the role models for just doing a phenomenal job, like you said, from molding young men and women to coaching and longevity at one school. And your dad is definitely in the top, heck, three or two in every category almost as a high school coach in the country right now.
Right, yeah.
But I want to go ahead and talk about the 221 John Curtis class in football before we get into baseball and the 222. But when the show airs Monday, which it'll be Monday when people hear it, wish everybody a happy Easter. It's Easter will be over by the time this show is aired. But talk about the 221 class, Coach. Jackson Wallace signed with Columbia. Caleb Spann signed with Western Michigan. Kylan White signed with Nicholls State. Alinus Noel III, big-time steal with Nicholls State. Kerry McMillan, a great safety with Lamar. And then some of these other guys that haven't signed yet, Jordan Stipe, Bobby Regas, Ronald Poole, running back. Juan Gonzalez is still kind of actually a free agent, I guess you could say, because he hasn't signed anywhere.
Correct.
And then you've got Vincent. I don't want to butcher his last name.
Hey, Logidis.
Yeah. Yep. Who I saw at Jesuit early on in his career. Good DB. And then also Richard Woodruff was a good player this year. Craig Gullin, DB, safety, strong safety, corner. John Drake. Just a heck of a group of guys, huh, Coach? This 221.
Yeah. it really was a good group. It really was. You know, and this is such an odd year. Just a tremendous amount of credit to those guys and their parents for, you know, going back to this time last year with so much uncertainty, and then going into the summer and having all the rules and, you know, working out in small pods and odd times and socially distant and missing spring training and missing their typical summer workout regimen and getting into two-a-days and not being able to do a typical two-a-day and, you know, just all the stuff that goes into what typically forms your season, and it just got almost ripped away from them. So a tremendous amount of credit to this year's seniors and those guys for, you know, just doing a great job of staying together and doing what they needed to do. But this, you know, the recruiting part of it was completely different than any other year that we've ever had, obviously, without coaches being able to come on the road and recruit and, you know, see these kids face to face and, you know, with the NCAA, with giving a sixth year and loosening the restrictions on transferring. It's just such an odd year. We just feel like there's so many kids that, you hate to use this word, but undersigned.
Right.
You know, with some really, really good players, Caleb Spann and Jackson Wallace and Elias Noel and those guys, just, you know, we felt like those were Division One, high Division One, maybe even Power Five football players.
Right.
But because of the uncertainty with the numbers and the transfer portal and there's so much movement, there wasn't as much recruiting going on this year as there had been in the past. But, you know, on the other side of the spectrum is God has a plan, God has a purpose, and those guys have all been placed somewhere where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And we're big believers in that. So those guys are all going to go to places, and they're going to do very well, and they're going to be successful, and they're coming with a lot of toughness behind them and a lot of, you know, football knowledge and football IQ, and we think they have a chance to be really, really good football players at their respective universities.
I want to share this with you. I was in Monroe. I told you and your dad the other day, I was up there with Terry Bowden and his staff, and I know Tony Hull's going to be recruiting New Orleans, the former Warren Easton head coach. I mentioned, they told me, said, man, they were looking for O-linemen. A lot of these guys are new. They're not from Louisiana, some of them.
Right.
And I did mention, just so you know, Juan Gonzalez's name, so they should be getting in touch with him. I said, this is a guy still around. And
right.
So that should help him. I don't know what they'll do, but heck, they need 9 O-linemen right now at ULM.
Mm.
So that's a good, you know, like you said, new coaches come in, they're not from Louisiana, and then you give them some names, and like I said, like this kid, Caleb Spain, going to Western Michigan, what a steal.
What a steal.
Four-year starter
at a program like ours, you know, those guys are few and far between. Can play a variety of positions, you know, safety, can play corner. He played running back for us this year. He's played receiver for us in the past. Dad is a high school football coach. Dad was a former offensive lineman at Southern University in Baton Rouge and played a little bit in pro football. And so he has a tremendous, tremendous football IQ, could play a variety of positions all over the field, any special team you want. But he was just, you know, part of that class that just got caught up in the mix of a numbers game, you know, and, tremendous student, really good ACT score, really good GPA, National Honor Society kid, dual curriculum in enrollment is probably going to have 9 or 12 hours after he finishes his high school career of college credit. Yeah. So it's kind of a head scratcher. But you know, credit to Western Michigan and Jim McElwain up there and Tim Skipper, who was the guy that recruited him, and Tim's got ties in the New Orleans area. His dad coached with the New Orleans Saints, and Tim grew up in the New Orleans area when his dad played here, so has some ties here and knew the Spann family, and credit to them for getting him up there, because he's going to be an impact player for him for sure.
And then another one who I think is a national recruit, nose guard, D-tackle, Elias Noel, another four-year starter going to Nickel State. Man, Rebo stole this one.
Yeah, he sure did. Man, he really, other than being 6'4", he really has everything that you look for in a nose tackle. He's quick, man. He's really, really quick, really strong, really powerful, good center of gravity, moves well, just really everything you want. And, you know, he's going to a place that his both parents met at Nicholls State University, and they wound up getting married as college students and living on campus. And that was one of the attractions to him, stay in state and go to Nicholls and kind of follow his dad's footsteps there. So they're getting a really good football player with Elias. But we were a little surprised at his recruitment too, just because we knew the type of football player we want, or he is. Quick story about him. We were preparing for Catholic High of Baton Rouge his sophomore year, getting ready to play the state championship, and he was giving us fits during our looks period. And, you know, it was one of those Elias busted through and hey, on the line, run it again. Let's get that block correctly. And he busts through again, and dad's fussing and yelling at our offensive lineman. You got to take the right step, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And our, after the play was over, I pulled him aside. I said, the good news is that Catholic guy has nobody like him.
Right. That's true.
You know, but just because there's not many out there like him that can move at his size. You know, he's probably 6'2", 320, but he moves like he's 240,
yeah.
You know?
He reminds me when Tyler Shelvin was in shape at LSU, he's another Tyler Shelvin.
You know? I agree 100%.
And then you got Kerry McMillan, who's built like the former Clarence LeBlanc that went to LSU, going to Lamar. That's a big-time steal for Lamar, Kerry McMillan.
It really is. You know, the person that he really reminds us of, who just has had a fantastic career, and I guess you would call it a breakout season for him, is Garrett Wallow at TCU. Who's going to be drafted here in the NFL. Him and Garrett are very, very similar, tall, rangy. Both of them played safety in high school, filled out and developed. Of course, Garrett moved down, got big enough to play linebacker at TCU, and that's probably where he's going to play in the NFL. But both of them had very, very similar high school careers. So like you mentioned, Clarence, for those guys who know of those guys that played in the 90s and played at LSU, but right in the mold of like a Garrett Wallow. So we really think he's going to have a good career as well.
And I want to mention this, Kylan White, the football, I call him a football player to go on to Nicholls.
That's him.
The toughest kid I saw on film, fits at Nicholls State criteria, just a tough guy that's not so much a 40-time guy, just a football player.
Exactly. He's exactly who Hezekiah White was, his older brother, who went on to Nicholls and was all conference and team captain. And every time we would talk to those guys, I said, man, you know, we always are trying to replace him because he's a step slow and he's an inch too short. But at the end of the day, he makes every play. He makes all the plays. He gets guys lined up and he knows defense inside and out. And Kylan's going to follow right in those footsteps of Hezekiah. And we think he's going to have a great career at Nicholls as well.
Going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the 222 guys coming up. And then baseball. When the show comes out, we don't want to talk about baseball tonight. I mean, today, Coach, because it'll be over with, or Saturday. But anything going on from Monday on, we'll talk about baseball. Your baseball team's doing really good right now. You always have a great program at John Curtis, the baseball program. We'll be back with more of Jeff Curtis from John Curtis High School in River Ridge, Louisiana. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. Our guest today is Jeff Curtis, head baseball coach at John Curtis High School, also football coach for his dad, JT Curtis. And what a great school. I grew up, Jeff, really admiring Jonathan Wells. You know, when I had the magazine early on, went to Ohio State. Reggie Dupart, I was a little kid when Reggie was at SMU. What a great player Reggie was. And Clarence LeBlanc, the late Joe McKnight. Mike Stonebreaker was another favorite player of mine, went to Notre Dame. And Greg Dubrock, I'm going to throw out an old one. Greg Dubrock, yep. One of your dad's first All-American linebackers that went to LSU. Greg Dubrock.
That's right.
But getting into baseball, got a great team this year in 2021, and y'all got a good record. I mean, by the time this show airs on Monday, hopefully it's three more wins on Monday.
Right,
but,
right.
But talk about your baseball team, and I know that, like I said, Cade Beloso was one of your former players, currently at LSU. Wishing the best for Cade to get on track. I know he will. And then Daniel Cabrera is in the minor leagues, will be a major leaguer, was at Curtis for a while. But what do you think of the team this year, Jeff, compared to years past, the baseball team?
I think this team has a lot of the ingredients it needs to make a run for a state championship. I really do. They're gelling together really well. And they're doing the things that championship teams do. They're taking care of the baseball. They're getting on base and they're hitting with runners in scoring position. And when you can do those three things, you give yourself a chance to win every game. And they're playing really well right now. We're doing a really good job. I think we're 14-3 right now. We got a game on Saturday. I know that the show will air on Monday, so I'm not sure what the outcome will be on that. And then we got a big series against Brother Martin on Tuesday and Thursday. And that's the great thing about this league is, you know, every 2 days you're playing against one of the top teams in the state. So as big as the win was maybe yesterday or the previous win, it doesn't really matter because you're going to have to turn around and play another really, really good team, quality opponent that can turn around and beat you. Yeah. And after the Brother Martin series, we play Holy Cross back-to-back, and then we close with Jesuit back-to-back, who was nationally ranked last week, climbed in the national rankings, which I think is something to be said about the state of high school baseball in Louisiana. We had three teams ranked in the top 25 nationally.
Wow.
Barb, Sam, Houston, and Jesuit in last week's national top 25 high school poll. So, you know, the quality of baseball in Louisiana is really at the top. And we had an opportunity to showcase that a few years ago, as you mentioned, Cade Beloso and Jay Curtis and those guys. We went up to Logan Stevens, who's playing at Tulane, went up to North Carolina and played in the National High School Invitational. And, you know, we were one pitch away from playing for the national championship. We were able to get to the semifinals. We ended up losing in 14 innings to a team from North Carolina.
Wow.
So, you know, we've been able to put our program and our state on the national map. And as other teams, obviously Barb's record speaks for itself, in what they do, but other teams around the state do a great job as well. And, I'm really excited about this team in the future. If we can stay healthy and do those three things that I alluded to earlier, I think we'll have an opportunity to make a deep run.
Coach, speaking of the talent that's come out of New Orleans, just you look at Helmers from Jesuit at LSU right now as a freshman. He looks like he's going to be a good player at LSU as a pitcher. He could have been a batter. He tried both, but obviously you got to pick one. And then the first baseman at LSU is from Brother Martin. He's going to be a major league guy. And then this year, like you said, Jesuit's loaded with players. Brother Martin, you know, everybody you play. Dykeman was a player in the league. And any guys coming up on your team that you feel like will be a D1, 1AA guy in the next year or two that you'd like to promote or put their name out there?
Yeah, you know, we got a senior shortstop, Nyan Hayes, is a really good player for us. Michael Curtis, Jay's younger brother, is a senior.
Huh.
He could play college baseball, but he has chosen to further his academic career by accepting an academic scholarship to Northeastern in Boston University.
Wow.
I mean, in Boston, Massachusetts. He got a tremendous opportunity to go up there. And he told his dad last year or a little over a year ago, he said, "Dad, I don't think I want to play college athletics. I want to try to get an academic scholarship and focus on academics when I get to college." And his dad said, "Son, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy,
right.
you've worked really hard. Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." Because he's actually a really good tennis player as well.
Okay.
So I think he could be a Division I college baseball player, but he chose a different avenue. And hey, more power to him. Go pursue your dream. So we got a couple seniors that could play. Richard Woodruff is another one. You mentioned him earlier about being an offensive lineman. He swings it pretty well and pitches for us. We got a junior, Logan O'Neill, who's a really, really good player. He's committed to actually UNO right now.
Okay.
So he's a Division I player, and we got a couple of sophomores right now that are being recruited, and Michael O'Brien and Austin Ackle and guys like that. So we got a bunch of guys that are doing really good in the baseball diamond as well. And again, that goes to the quality of the state and the quality of the league that we play in.
Coach, we're going to take a break, come back one more segment. I want to ask you what you think of Trey Morgan from Brother Martin. Was he that great of a defensive first baseman? Did you see that in high school with him? And also talk about the 222, some of the guys coming back for football. We'll be back with more of, with Jeff Curtis from John Curtis High School in River Ridge, Louisiana. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Jeff Curtis with John Curtis High School, John Curtis Christian High School in River Ridge, Louisiana. Coach, what do you think of Trey Morgan? He's getting a reputation already as one of the best defensive first base guys in the country as a true freshman out of Brother Martin. Did you see that in high school?
Yeah, we sure did. We saw it up close and personal for a number of years. Trey played a really good first base for Brother Martin, and there was a couple of games that he made plays at first base that a normal high school first baseman doesn't make. And without him playing first base, maybe could have turned in some big innings for them. So yeah, we actually have seen that for years, and it's not a surprise to me. He's a hardworking kid, you know, loves the game, plays it the right way. So it's no surprise that he's having the success that he's having right now.
Coach, changing the topic to football, I know that, you know, every year y'all got to replace a lot. It's a different team every year. But y'all got a team coming back led by some good seniors. Buddy Taylor, a really good, very athletic quarterback. What do you think of Buddy? I mean, he's very unique. He can run. He could do it all.
Yeah, he really can. Buddy is a really good player. He's got a bigger arm than what people give him credit for, and really made some nice throws this year for us. He's a passer. He's not just a thrower. He understands what throws need to be made where. He can make the touch throw. He can throw it deep. He can pitch and catch the easy throws. So he's done a really good job for us doing that. And he's really, really athletic and fast as well. He's a really good player, and he's an integral part of our team.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he runs 4-3 in a phone booth, Coach, between the sidelines. And then Javon Davis, what an under-the-radar D1 receiver. Good-looking kid, Javon Davis.
Absolutely. Javon reminds me a lot of Malachi Dupree. He's long, he's athletic, he can go get it. Tremendous work ethic. I mean, he's always trying to improve his game. Very selfless player. You know, we're in a playoffs and it's late in the game and it looks like we're going to win the game and move on in advance of the next round. And we've only thrown it a couple of times and he hasn't had many touches and we score to kind of put the game away. And he's just as excited that we're winning the game and we're moving on as catching a touchdown pass or making a freakish catch just because he's a great teammate. He'd go over and play corner. He'll play free safety. He'll play on special teams. He's a really special player, and I think he's going to have a fantastic senior season.
I want to mention this guy before people ask. Connor Orgeron, not kin to Ed Orgeron. I asked his dad, but his brother was a 4-year starter. He's at Nichols, and then this kid, I remember seeing him on the field as a freshman for your dad and you at tight end as a true freshman.
Yep, he sure did. He started for us at tight end as a freshman and played there as a sophomore. And we got another tight end behind him that's a grade behind him who we thought could step in this year as a sophomore and hold down his tight end slot. And we needed some help at linebacker. So he moved over, which is a little bit more of his natural position. And he had a tremendous year for us at linebacker. A kid that can really, really run a lot more than people think. Big body, strong, athletic, can cover, can blitz, physical against the run, but obviously being a former tight end can also play the pass game as well, which is a tremendous asset.
Y'all have had some good linebackers. When I think of him, I think of Mike Merler. Remember Mike Merler from way back?
Oh, yeah. And yeah, absolutely. Mike played at LSU.
Darren Marbrall, a couple of guys.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, is there any more long snappers in the Englander family? Because Timmy, he's coming back as a senior, but his older brother was a long snapper too. It's a long
sure was.
They have a third one coming up when this kid graduates, Coach?
They do. They have a younger brother, but I think he's only in like the fifth grade. Okay. So we got a little bit while, before he gets up there.
Another D1 long snapper. It's good to have a long snapper that can do it. Timmy England.
Those guys are invaluable. Invaluable.
And then a good looking DN, Jared Washington. I think he's got a ton of ability. Jared Washington.
Yeah, Jared's got a tremendous upside. Transferred from another school, came in, sat out his sophomore year because he had transferred and lived out of the district and played last year. Really was a first-year player for us after kind of learning the system and got better and better as the season went on. But his intangibles this year have really started to manifest themselves. He's really starting to step up, become a leader, and we're looking for him to have a really big senior season.
And another kid at D-tackle who's good enough to play a DN probably at some colleges, Siobhan Lane, who's got a lot of ability, has yet to hit his full upside. He's got so much potential as a D-tackle, Siobhan Lane.
Yeah, really. Siobhan was coming on strong for us at the end of the season. I mean, playing really well. Was a young junior, and it took him a little while to kind of get used to the game and grew up and matured and was really starting to play like we thought he was capable of playing, and dislocated his ankle in the playoff game against Scotlandville. It was a really gruesome injury. So his season was cut a little bit short. But he's on the mend. He's doing well. He's physical therapy and ahead of the curve of where he needs to be. And we'll see what happens with spring ball, but he should be back full go by summer.
Coach, I want to mention this, and we talked about it. I've been talking about it with college coaches for the last month, but you can't visit a campus as a kid until at least maybe June.
Right.
And coaches can't come to high schools until maybe June. Well, by June, they're going to be starting. They're practicing their team, getting ready for the fall. So this is 2 years in a row that high school coaches can't come in and meet with high school coaches, college coaches, and then kids can't even go to a campus on an unofficial official and be around any personnel until maybe June of this year. That's tough right now for kids that are going to be 222 seniors.
It's terrible. And we all understand the significance of the virus. We all understand the devastation that it could have on a certain population and those that may have pre-existing conditions. But it's terrible for these kids. I have friends of mine that are in other states, that coach in other states, that have been locked down and haven't been able to practice or play or do anything, and just the depression rate, even the suicide rate of some of these kids is just, it's gut wrenching. You know, obviously that pales in comparison to not getting a college coach on campus, but it also plays into the mental health of these kids. You know, these are kids that have the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years of their life have waited for this one opportunity, and it might not be there. Especially looking back at what happened this past season with so many kids falling through the cracks and guys that thought they were going to be able to go play college football, and there's just no space or room for them. I really wish the NCAA would rethink some things and maybe be able to move forward and make it work for these kids, because right now my heart just goes out for them and it breaks for them.
Well, I hope they uplift the dead period in May. I really hope they do. I hope May is where they'll let these college. That's the only month they have, as you know, to travel.
Right.
May is very important to these high school coaches to see these college coaches and kids to be able to go to some camps and do that. But Coach, any final thoughts about baseball or football, or you want us to promote any other like track or basketball, anything else at John Curtis while we're talking?
Well, you know, I mean, just lastly, what we do at Curtis, you know, is it's a family environment, obviously, as you alluded to earlier. And it doesn't matter the sport. You know, all of our mission and our goal is the same. Obviously, a tremendous administration behind us that's going to give us everything that we need, no matter the sport. Like you said, track, basketball, football, softball, girls basketball. The mission is the same: build champions for life. And if we can build those champions off the field, then the football field or the basketball court or the track or the baseball field, that's just a manifestation of of who and what that individual kid is and what that team, those teams are. So as long as we can continue to follow that print, those principles that are God-based and faith-based, then we feel like we can continue to just get better and better and better every season and every year.
I want to mention something. You're going to love this. I know your dad will love this when he hears the show. But John Curtis Christian High School needs to be credited for one guy that's going in the NFL Hall of Fame. It needs to be on his football card. And that's Alan Faneca. Curtis before him and his mom had to move to Texas. But
exactly. Yeah. He was actually in my class.
Really?
Alan and I were classmates. Yep.
I was going to ask you that. What was he like at that time? I know he was a young guy then, probably what, ninth grade, eighth grade?
No, it was before that. He was fifth through eighth, I believe, is when he was at Curtis, fifth through eighth, and he left after his eighth grade year.
Yeah, they need to not just put Texas on there. They need to put John Curtis High School in Louisiana and Texas because, you know, he's from New Orleans, and a lot of people don't realize that. They don't realize he's
from the West Bank. Yeah, from the West Bank. I believe he lived in Harvey. So, yeah, Alan was a quiet kid. In class, but had a fiery streak to him on the field. And he was as competitive as anybody, and it was a lot of fun being able to play with him. And then just totally quiet and unassuming off the field. Almost just that switch would flip, and he would just go turn into an animal on the field. And he was a really good player, obviously, but a better person. And fortunately been able to keep in touch through the years, and he's just a great, great person. Nobody more deserving than him.
Well, I tell you what, if he would have somehow stayed in Louisiana and didn't have to move with Melvin Hayes, oh my goodness. I don't know if Godfrey was there at the time or not. That was a heck of a line then. And Jeff, I know you're busy. Again, happy Easter to you and your family and all of the Curtis family, and I appreciate you taking the time to be a part of this and go statewide, because we're able to get this to Shreveport and Bossier City and Natchitoches and Monroe and Lake Charles all over the state. I'm glad we're able to, it would take 22 shows to probably talk about all the players that have come out of John Curtis High School and all the stuff we could talk about. But I think we got a lot of it done today, today on the show. But look, good luck to you. I hope y'all win a state championship in baseball too.
Thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks for all that you do for Louisiana high school football and Louisiana athletics in general.
Jeff, don't hang up. We're going to go ahead and end the show. Everybody go to LAFootballMagazine.com. We're working on our 25th preview issue, 25 years as a family. We got nothing on the Curtis family, but 25 years. We're putting out our preview magazine in September. Could come out late August, early September. And we're working on that. We'll send our copies always to the coaches in the state. But go on our website. You can get a copy, LAFootballMagazine.com. We will see you Wednesday. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.